Good evening and welcome to our GBAP Live radio broadcast, heard here every Thursday afternoon from 3:30 to 4 p.m. here on Radio 1400.am with your host, Jean Brown. And you can also listen at your convenience on our on-demand channel at www.radio1400.am. Our call to listen number is 563-999-3149. As you know, GBAP Live was aired last week as our first broadcast. It's the Greater Bridgeport Area Prevention Program, where our main office is located at 1470 Barnum Avenue, right here in Bridgeport. And we provide an array of community services, such as education on HIV/AIDS prevention and care, awareness, healthy sexuality, personal growth and development in the areas of trauma-informed approaches, and housing and support services, and much, much more. As you all know, as of July 1st, we're under new leadership at GBAP. Reverend Nancy Kingwood is our new executive director, and Maria Prato is our director of programs. We are honoring the past, assessing the present, and charting the future. And GBAP has expanded their scope of services, including behavioral health, offered during the day, evening, and on Saturdays. GBAP will be offering so many other services, such as Tai Chi, yoga, nutritional, and wellness virtual classes to promote healthy lifestyle and overall holistic health to our community. So we have a lot going on at GBAP. Tomorrow at 10 a.m., we invite you to join us for one of our Joy in the Morning series with Reverend Kendra Frazier on Zoom or Facebook Live, and we're going to talk about healing from generational trauma. And for more information on our services at GBAP, we invite you to give us a call at 203-366-8255. So today on our radio broadcast, our guest is Ms. Jackie Vega, and she's the program supervisor for our housing and supportive services. It's another component of GBAP, and we're located right here in Bridgeport, across from Bridgeport Hospital on Mill Hill Avenue. Welcome, Jackie, to GBAP Live.
Thank you. Thank you.
So today we are going to talk again about housing and supportive services, and and some of the things that you do regarding our youth. So tell us a little bit about the services at Housing and Supportive Services, some of the services that you provide.
Sure. So we have a couple of transitional living programs over in our area of service, and we service youth at one particular building from 16 to 20, and those youth are strictly from DCF referred. We have a apartment building. It's separated in three apartments. We are co-ed at times, and we provide, we are a statewide program. We provide list assessments, and what that means is we take our young adults and work with them individually to assess the needs and do the life skill building with them. Mm-hmm. So there is a kind of some paperwork that they go over and take some tests on what they know. And from there, we strategize on doing treatment plans. So that way each youth is, you know, has an individual plan. So that way they are ready for independent living. Mm-hmm. We have case managers on site, so they're working with them on a day-to-day basis to make sure that they're, you know, doing what they need to do at the programs, and also progress, making sure they're doing their making progress in our programs. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of success stories, you know, and success kind of just means that they're whether reunified with family or they go out into the community, and that's another scope of our service. So mm-hmm. we provide case management once they identify apartments, and they get a case manager that works with them, and it's, you know, making sure that they're paying their bills, and this is all while under the care of DCF.
Wow, so that's an array of services that Housing and Supportive Services provide. So what population do you serve?
Yeah, absolutely. So we serve two populations within the programs in its own. So we have the DCF adolescents, and then we have homeless and at-risk adolescents that we serve too. So there's the other transitional part is that we are working with those that are chronically homeless and trying to get them stabilized, mm-hmm. and making sure that they become a community member and they're connected with our community. And, you know, there it's kind of just like the other program I mentioned, which is Housing for Success. Mm-hmm. And they actually work towards the skills. So making sure, you know, that they understand when they move on their own that bills come and mm-hmm. how to pay their bills. And then our case manager on site follows them into a year, making mm-hmm. sure that, you know, they're being successful in the community. Any questions that they have, you know, they can ask our case managers. Mm-hmm. So those are the populations that we, mm-hmm. yeah.
So as you serve this population of our youth and young adults, and what we've known in living is that youth always experience some unique pathways into unstable housing. Yeah. Like some of it, family conflict.
Yes.
They've child abuse, neglect. They've moved into the DCF care.
Yes.
And so how do they fit into the program and the services that you provide?
I believe because our staff is trauma-informed, mm-hmm. and we work really closely with providers in the community that have serviced our kids. So, you know, we welcome partnerships that come on board that have already been working with our kids. And I believe that making sure that we focus on not forgetting their trauma, basically, mm-hmm. you know, and understanding how to move forward. I think it's really important because most of where they've come with their survival skills, mm-hmm. you know, so to kind of like make sure that we're not breaking those down, but just reinforcing how they can do better. Mm-hmm. So I think that with our staff and being trauma informed and making sure that our collaborators are at the table, mm-hmm. I feel like our kids kind of fit in, and they've have, you know, said to us, like, this is my safe place. And that's what we kind of want for our kids, to make sure that our houses and our programs are a safe zone, because they've been through, you know, so much mm-hmm. trauma and things of that nature. So yeah, if that answers your question.
Sure, because then, you know, when safety is important for youth and young adults.
Yes.
As they are getting into adulthood,
absolutely.
They want to make sure that, you know, their space is sacred, their space is safe.
Yes.
And how do you provide that space for them?
I think with just understanding that we have an open door and there are no judgments. You know, any story, every story, it could be told. And there aren't going to be, you know, any backlash or you're doing it wrong or that's not the way we do things. But just having that open mind, you know. And I believe also, like I mentioned, having our staff being trauma-informed, making sure that they know that our kids are coming with trauma. Mm-hmm. But we're working for them to have a better future. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, whatever the process is. But I believe that having that dialogue with our young adults, making sure that they know that we're there for them, mm-hmm. that we're mm-hmm. being advocates for them when we need to be, mm-hmm. I think it's really encouraging. And we have a lot of kids that come and, like I said, you know, mention that, yeah, I feel safe, mm-hmm. or I feel like I could come to talk to you about anything. And we mm-hmm. have kids talking about everything.
mm-hmm. So you got to be open and prepared.
Absolutely.
To listen. No judgment.
No judgments.
Yeah,
yep.
But they're always welcome, and they're, whatever they are talking about is important.
Yes.
And so case management services. Talk a little bit about the post-secondary education that the assistants part of that,
yes,
that will help them.
Absolutely. So we have a couple of collaborators in our community. YouthWorks is actually one of them. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about post-education, it's what they're doing after high school. So what is the plan, whether it is vocational, you know, training certificate, short term, or going to college. Mm-hmm. So we help them identify what it is that they want to do, you know, moving past high school. And some of our kids are ready for that short term certificate. So YouthWorks is where we go, mm-hmm. you know, because they have the skills to build with our residents and making sure that they identify plans with them in the goals that they have for a career.
Mm-hmm.
And then for college, we help them with their filling out applications or financial aid. So in that nature, that's how we help with the post education.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of rounding them off and getting them ready.
Absolutely.
For the world, for
yes.
society,
yep.
so that they can be contributing factors to communities and society. And that is one of the services that I don't know that's highlighted within our community, that young people, young adults and youths are, we have these services
yeah.
that are available to them. How do you advertise these services?
Most recently, we've been able to launch our Facebook page and, you know, keep up on social media, but really making sure that our collaborators know, our partners know. So that way, when they come across a young adult that is in need, they are referred or, you know, they know who to call, and it's GBAP. Mm-hmm. and, you know, just making sure that the connection is there. So that way, when there is someone that is in need, we will be able to take them from that step moving forward.
Mm-hmm. So we know we have our main number, which is 203-366-8255. If somebody's looking for these services, and at nights that we, you know, our hours are from 9 to 4:30. What are your hours in the housing supportive services?
So that's a great question, because we actually have a hotline. So we use our program line as our hotline, but they're automatically get information about how to process and specifically talking for our homeless population, right? So when a youth is in need and it's because they've on the street or they've been kicked out of their house for whatever reason, they can call our 203-690-1057, and that's our Housing Plus number.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, you'll speak to someone, a staff member, and they
is
will
that 24/7?
That's 24/7. Yep, because okay. our programs mm-hmm. never close.
Okay.
So they're able to speak with a staff member there, and they will be able to walk them through the process, calling 211, making sure they're answering the questions that they need to, and then from there, they get assigned a navigator, and the navigator will continue the work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So this is a service that's within every community that we need to highlight some more.
Absolutely.
Because there's so many youth that are struggling with homelessness, struggling with family conflicts, mm-hmm. their child abuse, sexual behaviors and risks.
Yep.
And so this housing and supportive services provides, as we said before, a safe space
yes.
for our youth and young adults. What are some of the other services that you have?
Yeah, so I kind of mentioned a little bit about the Chapin Chair case management that we do, and mm-hmm. that's really focused on our adolescents that are still within DCF care, and they transition into their own apartment. So our Chapin Chair case managers are out there making sure that they're there 5 hours a week, and they're there really focusing on the needs of the youth that is in the apartment, making sure that their bills are being paid, making sure they're following up with anything. If there's a problem in the apartment, you know, how to streamline to get to the landlord and make sure that that's being, you know, processed and things like that. So just making sure that the skills that they're be learning when we're no longer in the picture or DCF isn't any longer in the picture,
mm-hmm.
they know how to do and not be like, oh my God, what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
mm-hmm.
Chap and Cheer. And then most recently, our Vehicle for Change.
Mm-hmm.
So our Vehicle for Change is a mobile outreach van that goes out into the community, and they are bringing services to our young adults. And our young adults are really taking advantage. They get connected with navigators if it's needed. So this is geared towards those that aren't in any systems.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's great because we're trying to stop the barriers. You know,
mm-hmm.
some of the barriers are that our kids don't know where the services are or where to go or where to start.
Mm-hmm.
And they can start at Vehicle for Change.
All right. So we'll take a short break, and then we'll come right back to more of GBAP Live. Marijuana is the most used substance amongst adolescents next to alcohol. Every day, 3,287 teens use marijuana for the first time. 78% of 4.2 million people who began using marijuana in the last year were between the ages of 12 to 20 years old. Study shows that marijuana interferes with attention, motivation, memory, and learning. Students who use marijuana regularly get lower grades and are more likely to drop out of high school than those who don't. For more information, contact GBAP at 203-366-8255. All right, so welcome back to our GBAP live radio broadcast. With us is Ms. Jackie Vega, and she's our program supervisor for our housing and supportive services. It's another component of GBAP, and they're located on Mill Hill, right, Mill Hill Avenue, right?
Yes.
Across from Bridgeport Hospital. And so you have really educated us on some of the programs and the needs that they and some of the things that they provide. And so co-ed spaces, how does that work?
Yeah, sure. So our co-ed spaces are basically, we, like I mentioned a little earlier, our houses are divided into apartments. So every apartment is individualized. So there's no sharing of spaces, just they're sharing of common spaces, but they have their own bedrooms. Mm-hmm. However, on each floor, it's determined male or female. Mm-hmm. So that way, and we have cameras throughout our building to just and make sure that everybody is safe. That's mm-hmm. another component of the safety nets that we provide in our programs. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we're making sure that, you know, males, females, mm-hmm. and separating it by floors. Mm-hmm.
So you have, how many are you, how are you, are you fully staffed, booked? Is your program, how's that going?
Yeah, so we're staffed 24/7. Mm-hmm. Our staff is very reliable. They're a great piece to our team. And we house up to 8 residents mm-hmm. at a time in our facilities at both programs that we have for transitional living. Right now, we have 2 female beds open, actually 1 female bed open. So mm-hmm. if there's anyone that's in need on the DCF side, please put in referrals. Mm-hmm. And then at our other program, we have 5 male beds open and 1 female bed open. So if there's anyone in need that is struggling, looking for services, you know, somewhere where they will identify with us as, you know, their safe place and somewhere where they're going to come work and really put in the effort to move into independence. Please mm-hmm. Give us a call.
That's very useful information that our community can use. Because as we know, homelessness is very popular. And it's very chronic. Homelessness has affected our youth, especially here in Bridgeport.
Yes.
And for us to provide these type of transitional programs and supportive and educational programs, I think this is a huge benefit to our community. And then, you know, you have all of the interventions. So what are some of those interventions that will help impact their health and their social outcomes?
Yeah, so I think if I'm gearing towards how I'm perceiving the question, I believe it's like our partnership. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of providers that community-based, you know, clinics that we partner with, a mental health providers, making sure that, you know, if the resident is in need of stabilizing their mental health, we have providers that are willing to work with our kids. Mm-hmm. We have a medical director that oversees both of our programs, and he's making sure that the needs of, you know, our residents are being met as well. And then connecting them, you know, with different providers in our community mm-hmm. to make sure first medically they're up to date, mm-hmm. Then they're stable within their mental health. And then, you know, making sure that, they have the education and the resources, really, mm-hmm. to make sure that they're, you know, on the right track.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Awesome work that you are providing for our community. You mentioned a little bit about Vehicle for Change. So tell us a little bit about what that does, how it operates in the city,
sure.
and how can youth and young adults get in touch with you for Vehicle for Change?
Absolutely. So if a young adult is calling into 211, they can automatically get connected to our van. The 211 system is known, knows about our van and when we're stationed. We also use social media. Before COVID, you know, know, things have kind of like stopped because of COVID and mm-hmm. our vans. However, our van was out there at the Bridgeport Public Library, at Housatonic. So if you see our van out there, please stop us. We, even if it's just to charge your phone, mm-hmm. get a cup of coffee, have a conversation, you know, we welcome anyone on our van. Our van looks, it's a big white van, wrapped, mm-hmm. says vehicle for change. It has our number on it, our mm-hmm. logo. And basically, we're out in the community making sure that we're connecting the services. Or mm-hmm. if you find yourself in a situation, we do what 2-1-1 does right on our van. Mm-hmm. So then again, breaking the barrier of maybe the young adult doesn't have a cell phone to call 2-1-1, mm-hmm. but we'll do it with them on our van. Mm-hmm. It has a little desk, comfortable chairs. You know, we provide little swag bags, which has personal hygiene items in it, a snack, water bottle, things that you can take with you. Mm-hmm. And really, it's just kind of a comfort space. Mm-hmm. So that way, again, providing the safetiness that our, you know, our youth want to have. Mm-hmm. And having that space to be able to tell their story and get the necessary help they need.
Those are survival kits.
Absolutely.
you give them the survival tools they need so that they're able to at least step away from the van and know that I have a bottle, I have my own bottle
yes.
I can drink from.
Yes.
And that's such necessary for them to feel whole.
Yeah.
And for them to feel like I am somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, even though I'm going through this, that I have, you know, there's somebody who really cares.
Yeah.
And when you have personal hygiene kits and you give somebody a clean t-shirt, you know, something that they can take care of themselves with, they feel better
Absolutely.
About themselves. Mm-hmm. And so it's great work that is being done at Housing and Supportive Services. And just to wrap up, some of the services, more services that you do, and I know we talked a lot about the intricate part of what Housing and Supportive Services do, the two different houses that you have, Housing Plus, Housing for Success, and now we have Vehicle for Change, the Chap and Cheer services. That's a whole lot that's compiled
yeah.
into the services that you provide for the greater Bridgeport area community. Do you go above, beyond Bridgeport?
Yeah, so we actually do all of Fairfield County. So our services stop, if I'm not mistaken, it's all the way until Norwalk, and then mm-hmm. and through Stratford. So, you know, we're broad. Our regions for DCF really vary statewide. So, you know, we've gotten referrals from Middletown and Norwich and, you know, places where our kids are in need, mm-hmm. you know, and they come down as long as they're willing to relocate. They come down this way and we provide the service that we mm-hmm. want to provide. Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome. And, awesome work.
Thank you.
Awesome work. So you're in partnership with some, tell us some of the services, the places apart from DCF. Who else are you in partnership with?
Oh, okay. So we have Supportive Housing Works that we're in partnership with. Actually, the vehicle is a collaborative Vehicle for Change is a collaborative effort. So Supportive Housing Works is our collaborator. And then we also have TCC. So they're the Triangle Community Center in mm-hmm. Norwalk. So mm-hmm. they really service the LGBTQ community that mm-hmm. we service under our program. Mm-hmm. So that population. Mm-hmm. We also have our healthcare providers, you know, Southwest and Optimum and Dr. Williams. And, mm-hmm. you know, so there's a broad scope of service and services that we have, community partners that we have, mm-hmm. Just to make sure that, you know, what we're providing for our kids, it's like sturdy and they're willing to move forward and take, you know, the relationship that they've gotten with that provider and mm-hmm. take it on with them in mm-hmm. their next step.
Mm-hmm. So, the LGBTQ yeah. community, how do they get, you said they were referred from TCC in Norwalk?
So it just depends, really. They whether it's coming through the 2-1-1 system, you know, we have actually LGBTQ coming from DCF or coming from our homeless population, and it kind of varies where the referrals come from, but we're welcomed.
Yeah,
definitely welcome.
So that's a piece that we need to push, because you know within that community and population that there's a lot of stigma.
Yes.
And there's a lot of I don't want to say abuse, but there's a lot of neglect that goes on in that community. So they're kind of fit into, are there separate houses from, you said, for which house does house the LGBT?
No, we both. Both of our houses house LGBTQ. We don't discriminate. We allow for the resident to feel like they can be who they want to be and mm-hmm. who they want to express themselves mm-hmm. with no judgments. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one thing that I particularly, we work towards with our staff to make sure that there aren't any judgments. So our kids, again, feel safe, feel like they can be who they want to be and express who they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's very important, because then, you know, as we know, what stigma does to somebody else's self-esteem.
Yes, it's the breakdown of it.
Right. Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that their sacred space is safe.
Exactly.
And that wherever you are, whoever you are, that you're welcomed and you are prepared to live in a healthy lifestyle.
Yep.
Because it seems like this program will allow a youth or young adult to experience that whole piece where it makes them feel their well-being is being protected. Mm-hmm. It's a holistic change that happens within them. Yep. And as they come to your housing and supportive services, that they just feel like they've been neglected on the street, that they're accepted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes most of our kids are in our system because they've been kicked out for who they are. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate that happens. But then again, we're there to be able to, you know, restructure the breakdown of it all and mm-hmm. make sure that they're a community, you know, member, but that a stable community member, that they're known, that they know that no one is to discriminate, you know, that they know that they are accepted, and that they can move forward, mm-hmm. that is not the end, because mm-hmm. they are not allowed to, you know, be who they want to be, but they can be that at our program. Mm.
So as we wrap up here, Jackie, I'm grateful for you being here just to explain to our listeners what the services are that Housing and Supportive Services provide. And so we know that you said your staff is trauma informed.
Yes.
They're trained.
Yes.
They're culturally competent.
Yes.
They
yes.
are and they help with the different developmental and age appropriate interventions that you have going on within housing and supportive services.
Yep, they function the day to days. They make sure that, you know, our kids are getting to their programs, or making sure that they're cooking the dinner, you know, facilitating all of those skills that they will need to live mm-hmm. independently. Mm-hmm. So our staff, I thank our staff for being there. I thank our staff for being who they are and continuing, you know, the work that they do mm-hmm. with our young adults in our programs.
So just as we wrap up, just again, tell us how, if somebody is looking for services, and how can we get to you, and how can our youth, you know, be access some of the services you provide?
Yeah, so if you're in DCF, please speak to your DCF worker. It's a DCF referred program for one of our transitional living programs. But then on the other side, if you're looking, if you're homeless or unstably housed, it's calling 211, pressing option 3, option 1. They'll take you straight to a 211 CAN person. They will be able to identify your needs. And if you're eligible for a program, you will get matched to us. And we will take it from there. We will do the necessary steps to get you into our program, have the, you know, communication via Zoom now.
Yeah.
But with that being said, and then calling our hotline.
Good. Thank you. Great work at Housing and Supportive Services, that you've addressed some of the needs of our youths and young adults in our community. Stable housing, even if it's temporary, is providing motivation, which helps enhance and strengthen their mental well-being, independence, and success, as well as help them thrive into becoming contributing members of their families and their communities.
Yes.
So thank you for the service that
you
do.
Thank you for having me.
And so again, we are on GBAP Live. We'll be back next Thursday for more information on the services that we provide at GBAP. Thank you so much for tuning in. Right.